Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the 12 Days of Dishmas by Dish Island. I'm Paul Verhoeven.
And I'm Tegan Higginbotham, and I'm so happy to be here because I'm really excited about today's guest. She is the walking, talking example of how much one single person can achieve if they truly set their mind to it. Violetta M. Baggia is a chart-topping fantasy author, an accomplished home baker, and, as of very recently, a brand new mum. Her Heart of Darkness series has a dedicated cult following across the globe, while her recent novel, The Reaper's Descent, just hit the shelves. She has a truly unique take on Christmas and a desert island dish I am dying to try. So please welcome Violetta M. Baggia to Dish Island. Welcome to Dish Island. I'm particularly excited to have you here because you're not only an incredibly talented author, a new mum, I think you're like a genius doctor of writing now or something based on your university, but you're also a really good friend of mine. So thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
What did you achieve at uni this year? I should probably get the words right. Magician doctor of words is not it, is it?
Oh, look, I'm hoping to be a magician of doctor words at some point, but at this point, not yet. I've got 3 units left, but I've completed my first major thesis. So I'm on to my next one, which will hopefully be the PhD. So, yeah, watch this space.
You've done a lot this year. You've had your beautiful daughter. Your book, your fifth book, came out on November 16th. I mean, there is just so much going on in your world.
Yeah, there is. It's one of those pinch yourself and, you know, make sure everything's real kind of scenarios at this stage where, you know, everyone was telling me, oh, just you wait until Bub comes, you won't be able to do any of these things. But I've been so fortunate that she's actually just the best baby. You know, now I've said that she'll probably start screaming, so I apologize.
Violetta, you and your husband have, you know, been flying just the two of you for a while, and you've obviously, look, I'm assuming that like Tegan and I, you've gotten into a nice Christmas rhythm. You've got your meals you cook, and you've got your rituals, you've got your movies, and you've got a kind of like a rhythm going. Now that you've got a baby, this is going to be your first Christmas with a baby, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
So how much is that going to change the nice Christmas routine that you've built up? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
Look, I think like everything's going to change at some point, you know, with the baby, like all the firsts that we're going to go through in the near future. But I think in terms of prepping Christmas, because the way that I've always done it is, you know, the kitchen needs to be empty. Everyone please clear out of the house. So I don't think this year will be any different. I'll just have to make him go over to his dad's house with the little one this time.
Because Christmas, I mean, I like this idea that you have to clear your house because you go in hard for Christmas. I've seen your socials. Everything in your house becomes Christmassy. How much of a big deal is it for you?
Look, Christmas for me was one of those things growing up, which, you know, I'd watch all the Home Alone movies and Die Hard. Yes, it is totally a Christmas movie. I'll fight anyone who says otherwise. You know, I grew up watching that and, you know, wanting to sort of have that whole experience for myself, you know, the house with a big tree and the obnoxious decorations and cooking ridiculous food that, you know, no one could possibly finish. I always wanted that. So that was kind of one of my things growing up, you know, and then as soon as I bought my own house, it was just, you know, wait, I can do all of this. Like, wow. So Christmas became huge. Every year I add a few more things to the list of decorating. So we'll see what happens this year.
And is this something, this desire for you to go in hard for Christmas? Because I completely understand the vision you have and I love it too. And sometimes I really try to mimic that sort of, you know, movie-worthy Christmas idea as well. But is that something that that happened that started when you were really young, or is that something that, that happened at a later point in your life?
Look, I think you know, the answer is a bit twofold here. It did start when I was quite young. I think you and I have touched on this. You know, obviously we've been friends for a while. You know, I emigrated a few countries to finally land here in Australia, where, you know, it is home, and we didn't really have those opportunities to have those big Christmases from Bosnia, where I come from, because the country there predominantly is Muslim. So, you know, you weren't sort of hidden away from the other countries in the world when you watch TV and movies, and that's where that idea came from. So the ability to have that, I think it grew as I got older. So I think, gosh, I only imagine what it's going to look like when I'm, you know, in my 40s or 50s.
You're going to need a whole other house just for Christmas. How is it, though, practically with your families? Because you're not Muslim, but you've still got members of your very close family who are Muslim. Do you do two different celebrations? Does it cause a lot of division, or is it all just all big won't be party?
No, look, I think everyone, although, yes, a lot of my close family does still, you know, I guess, follow the rules of Islam, there is a lot of, you know, I want to say modernization within our family unit, at least, where everyone's just happy to get together and celebrate whatever it is that each other is celebrating at that particular time in the year. So Christmas, I think, you know, obviously everyone wants to see it as the celebration that it is, and, you know, the right values and whatnot. But I think for us, it's taken on different right values, if you want to look at it that way. So not necessarily about the religious aspect, but more about the family and being together aspect.
Well, you've mentioned that you know, were a big fan of non-conventional Christmas films, both of which actually involve laying traps for people. I was going to say, have you kind of folded in any specific Christmas traditions into your new, you know, look at Christmas from pop culture? Have you taken any specific tropes and any specific kind of rituals and folded them in?
Okay, so I don't know if I can call it a ritual yet, because it's only happened for a few years, but in Iron Man 3, he had a certain song that he would listen to while he was, you know, decorating his little tinkering garage.
Yeah.
And I'm the biggest fan of Iron Man 3, so I must have any Christmas carols related to Robert Downey Jr., who, of course, actually did write a Christmas carol about 15 years ago himself. He totally did. It's amazing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I actually know the specific song and the specific scene you're thinking of. And again, that is another, like, a deep cut, non-conventional Christmas film. What is it that you look for in a Christmas film? Like, what is it about that to you makes a Christmas film really great?
I think it needs to have all the really cliche melodrama. I think I live for that, as you would know from any of the books that you might have, you know, popped across.
I wasn't going to say anything. You said it for me.
So I've discovered I do love melodrama. So a Christmas movie definitely has to have, you know, some sort of dramatic, you know, whether it was, you know, the kid got left behind at Christmas and now he's setting all these ridiculous traps, or, you know, like Die Hard, again, one of the best movies, let's just put it out there. It just has to be big. It has to be big and it has to be exciting.
I really resonated with what you were talking about before, about that sort of the meaning of Christmas, because although my family background's slightly different from yours, it wasn't by any means the same journey. We have started to look at Christmas in a really different way. We used to really celebrate the birth of Christ and we followed the Christian faith. Now that's not a part of our life anymore. So we're trying to find new meaning for Christmas, and I think it's about family and it's about trying to be a good person, or at least that's how we interpret it in our household. And it's about celebrating those that you love. And I think the Christmas movies and the Christmas television shows are now a really important part of that for me, because they also you know, it's instead of looking at the nativity story, I watch The Vicar of Dibley and see her doing wonderful things.
See, for me, it's Jingle All the Way, you know. it's Arnie in a superhero costume. You're right, though. Those Christmas films and those Christmas characters have become, they've kind of replaced that sort of role.
Even Home Alone, which is just such a celebration of family. And those are the things that I look to now in lieu of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Bruce Willis.
Thank you forever, Mr. Bruce Willis.
All right, we've tiptoed around it quite a while, but we need to talk to you now about food, because the other thing I know you lean in hard to is, of course, your cooking, your baking. You are exceptional in the kitchen. So, Violetta, if you had to choose one dish that for you sums up Christmas, or more to the point, if you could only have one dish at Christmas, it would be this one. What is it? What is your desert island Christmas dish?
Okay, so my desert island Christmas dish, and I feel like it's a bit of a cop-out because I can't even make it myself yet, but I am trying to learn. It's a traditional dish from, I guess a lot of people would say it stemmed from Greece, but we've made our own twist on it in Yugoslavia. It's called sarma. They're the little cabbage rolls that are filled with mincemeat and rice, and you have that with a bed of mashed potato and a side of bacon. And I'm so sorry for all the people who don't eat meat, but there's like four meats in this cabbage roll.
Yes.
So what is it that makes this meal particularly Christmassy for you? Is it just that you like eating it at Christmas, or is there something festive about it in your mind?
Look, it's definitely the taste is amazing. And then also my mum would always complain about how long it took to make. So we only ever got to eat it at Christmas. So it's become one of those happy memories of Christmas time means sarma, and that's the only time my mum makes it. So it's very exciting. But also back home in Yugoslavia, like in Bosnia where I was born, that was the dish. You know, like a celebration of any kind came around, obviously not Christmas, but any celebration at any time, you know, you would be sure there's a giant pot, you know, big enough to put, you know, a German shepherd inside. And then you're like, wow, that's a lot of cabbage rolls.
I find that so interesting because a lot of people we talk to, you know, who came from other countries when they were younger, use food as a way to kind of connect to their heritage in a really interesting way. And given that you moved across when you were 5 years old, I'm guessing you don't have many. Do you have many memories?
Was it five or was it younger?
From Bosnia, we moved over to Germany. So I would have been about three or four then, which my dad stayed behind because the war in Yugoslavia broke out and he was in the army. So then when we came to Australia, I would have been about five, yeah.
Right. Okay. So have you been back at any point? Have you been back to that part of the world, or have you just kind of, you know, stayed over here?
No. So we went back, I think it would have been 2017. And that's the only time I've been back before and since, mostly out of choice, unfortunately, I'd have to say. When I did go back, it was a bit of a shell shock to see how a lot of my family still lives and how corrupt the government there is. And I don't want to turn this podcast into something really sad, but it was a shell shock to sort of come from here and, you know, you know these things and you've lived these things, but then to see them again with adult eyes is really it's really confronting. So it was really difficult to contemplate going back, and I wouldn't feel, you know, I'd be going back in good faith if I went there but not stayed with my family. So I made a conscious choice not to visit just yet. At least until I feel like I'm ready emotionally.
It's nice, though, that you're still able to foster these positive memories through food and through this food that your mum has brought over and that you are now, or at some point in the future, going to try and master as well, so you can hopefully pass that recipe on to your daughter.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, like you said there, you nailed it. Food does bring people together in so many ways. So I'm always happy to eat it and make memories with new bits of it.
So your book came out on November 16th and it is available on Amazon and in all good bookstores. Dimmicks, I believe, are those good bookstores. Can you, for anybody who is not familiar with this particular book just yet, give them a little preview of what they can expect?
Yeah, so you can expect a very crazy New Year's Eve where reapers descend from the sky and the world as we know it suddenly shifts into darkness.
Oh, so that's just 2021.
Yeah, basically, which is really funny because I wrote this about a year before COVID.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's nonfiction. Oh my God.
I've read a few of the synopses around. I feel like your book would be perfect for somebody who digs Buffy. Is that a pretty good pairing?
Oh yeah, I would definitely go with that for sure.
Because this is absolutely your shtick. This is the place where you like. You like very ballsy lead female characters. You like a little bit of fantasy in there and an awful lot of action.
Correct. And of course, the melodrama. We can't forget that.
The Reaper's Descent is out right now. Grab yourself a copy. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Violetta.
Here's the and thing, have a very Merry
Robert
Christmas.
Downey Jr. is already stupidly talented. He was doing a film called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and he recorded an album during the shoot, and it's actually really good.
So the Christmas song is, should I put it on my Christmas list?
Well, let me put it this way. It's better than that Paul McCartney one you tried to introduce me to.
Wishing you a wonderful Christmas time.
It's dreadful. It's dreadful. It really makes me want to convert to Judaism. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the 12 Days of Dishmas. We will see you bright and early tomorrow talking to an absolute juggernaut of the gaming scene. In the meantime, make sure you head along to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. It really helps. And you know what? Consider that your Christmas present to us, okay?
Aww.
And thank you for getting us that. Anyway, I'm Paul.
That's Tegan.
What?
Merry Christmas, guys.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.